Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together this morning to look at your word together. I pray, Lord, that as we come to look at your word, that you'd speak to each of us clearly. I pray, Lord, that the words that you've prepared me to speak would be understood, and anything that's not of you would be forgotten. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged from what you say to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So you might have noticed on Thursday, it was Are You Okay Day, a national conversation movement that is equipping Australians with the skills and confidence to support those who are struggling with life. It's good to stop and reflect on how we're doing from time to time. It's great to have someone show that they genuinely care about your welfare by asking you this simple question. It's also important to check in with those people who are important to you, whether they be work colleagues, family members, friends, or whoever. We are living in unprecedented times, and almost every day the situation changes. I'm sure this morning, if we had the opportunity to speak about how we have been personally impacted by the evolving pandemic, even in this past week, we would all have something unique to share. There are many emotions as we look forward to the days ahead, even as Arthur has shared. As the weather warms up and as we start to think about Christmas, this brings its own set of challenges and uncertainty. We long to know what the future holds so that we can plan our holidays. We all want to hope for a brighter future and a light at the end of the tunnel. We can assume that spring will be better, and it is lovely to feel the warmer weather. But we keep being warned that for so many families, spring will bring tragedy. According to the modelling, projected numbers and hospitalisations, we fear that the worst is yet to come. Even on Friday, the Hills Area Police warned that we are a hair's breadth away from going into lockdown in this LGA. And this weekend is critical for keeping our local community transmission numbers low. I'm confident that you, my FBBC church family, are being sensible. But all this brings a measure of uncertainty to our lives, which is unfamiliar to us. This brings us to the focus of this morning's message, our future hope. What can we hold on to with absolute certainty? When we're having an Are You Okay type conversation with someone and we want to offer them hope, I want to be authentic and I want to be genuine, not just offer platitudes. So what is the real Christian hope that we can offer as an alternative to the political spin? The focus of the message this morning is our future hope. As Christians, we have so much more to hold on to than merely our dreams for a brighter day. As important and valuable as those dreams are, I hope you never give up on your dreams. I hope that you have big dreams that sustain you and inspire you. I hope your dreams give you a sense of direction as you navigate your way through life and make decisions. But I'm not talking about dreams today. The hope I want to talk about this morning is the hope that sustains us when all around us is pain, suffering, death, and decay. Can we promise better days to come with 100% guarantee? When we're having the worst day of your life, when you are not okay, and when everything around you is not okay, when we're at the very lowest point, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when we are truly desperate, what hope can we cling on to when all other hope in this world is gone? There is a hope that is guaranteed, and it will carry us through. Titus 1 verse 2 speaks of the hope of eternal life, the great hope of the Christian, the future hope for which we can be assured, is eternity with the Lord in the fullness of life. In recent years, we've become accustomed to a level of luxury and affluence that has led us to take our eyes off the prize towards which the Lord has called us heavenward. Overlooking this great hope is nothing new. Even in the days of the early church, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. This is a grand and magnificent inheritance that awaits us. It is central to the gospel message that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We do well to stop and remember that we are saved by grace, not by anything we deserve, not by our own perseverance, our own effort, our own good intentions, our positive thoughts, our good vibes, or even our thoughts and prayers, but exclusively by the unmerited favour of Christ, in concert with the will of God, by which I mean that our salvation through the death and resurrection of Christ is in perfect harmony with God the Father's good and perfect will, that we would be saved from the corruption of this world. That is why Christ came to earth to die in our place, to show us the love of God, and to purchase our salvation with his precious blood shed on the cross. This plan of God, this marvelous plan of salvation at the heart of the gospel, is not plan B. It's not God's rescue plan conceived in response to human sin, when God had to step in and do something because the human experiment was spiraling out of control. When God wanted to save the world from doom and destruction. No, this mystery is that somehow the hope of eternal life was promised even before time began. This is plan A. This is the way God always intended it to be. This morning's message of our future hope is an essential part of the gospel. Matthew Henry highlights this in his famous commentary from the early 1700s. To bring this knowledge and faith, both the knowledge of salvation and the knowledge of God, and faith in the promise of eternal life, is the great end of gospel ministry, he writes. The Christian teaching should have this chief aim, to bring about faith and to confirm it in the hope of eternal life. This is the primary intent of the gospel, to produce hope as well as faith, to take our hearts and minds off the things of this world and to raise them to heaven, to the things above. The Christian faith leading to eternal life gives hope and well-grounded expectation of the life to come. For God cannot lie, and he has promised it. It is a great comfort to the believer whose treasure is laid up in the faithful promises of God, a promise made before the world began. We therefore add our voices to Peter's acclamation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have an assurance of eternal life that is foundational to the gospel. But is there more to this promise than the comfort that our life would go on after death? Most funeral services in our society, regardless of the faith of the deceased or their family, will refer in some way to the vague notion of heaven and some sort of expectation that we will meet again with the dearly departed. As we listen to our politicians struggle to express their sympathy for the families of those dying of COVID, we might wonder what the specifics are of our Christian hope and what more we could hold on to. What is the uniquely Christian assurance and hope? This is where our Bible reading comes into its own. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 and 53, 51 and 52, say, in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. This world will one day pass away, since flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, this world will be transformed into imperishable immortality. Clearly, this new creation will be better than we can imagine. It will be an experience of life that is so rich and deep and real that this physical world will be seen as hardly real at all. eternal life is so foreign to our understanding. It's simply beyond our comprehension. As an engineering teacher, I'm interested in the properties of natural materials. Think about the fine quality leather or timber. Surely, to some extent, the value of these materials is in their limited service life. Like a beautiful flower, we don't expect natural materials to last forever. If we were to engineer a more long-lasting version of leather or timber or a flower, then the vinyl colour-bond steel or a plastic flower would rightly be called artificial or fake. It goes without saying that these materials are a cheap imitation of the natural. In this world, even the most beautiful things fade, decay, and die. And only artificial things endure, like the plastic waste in our oceans. It really is beyond our comprehension to imagine a physical world where life is eternal and natural resources last forever, but in a way that does not encroach on us. And yet this is the promise of Scripture. This is our future hope, the inheritance that awaits us. The second Scripture reading came from Revelation 21:1-4. This section is titled A New Heaven and a New Earth in the NIV, but what it describes is so much more. This new creation will be a place where we know God's presence eternally. We will see the Lord face to face and enjoy him forever. We know that God is always with us, but sometimes, with all that is wrong in this world, in the midst of our pain, we find ourselves asking, "Where are you, God?" Sometimes when we pray, God seems so far away. Sometimes it feels like he isn't there with us at all. But it will not always be like this. Now that we are confined to our homes and restricted to only meet in person with members of our household, it adds another whole dimension that God will live with us. Verse 3, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. The presence of God with us for all of eternity is not merely a virtual or spiritual reality. Sometimes when we read about our spiritual or heavenly bodies, we might become concerned that heaven will be some spiritual imitation of our current experience of life, merely some shadowy reflection of our physical life in this world as disembodied spirits floating around for all time. We do well to remember that Jesus appeared to his disciples in bodily form. He met with them, spoke with them, and ate with them. He may not have had flesh and blood as we know it, but he had a physicality that was undeniable. Revelation 21 goes on to say, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older things have passed away. This means that we will never get sick again. We currently live in a fallen, imperfect world where people get sick, suffer, and die. In heaven, that simply will not be the way that it will be. In addition to the utter joy of living in God's presence, we will also be blessed with our new heavenly bodies. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. For the older things, the old order of things has passed away. There'll be no more disease, no more aches or pains, no more tablets to take, doctors to see, or soreness to deal with. No more tests to be run. The doctors will be out of business. The reality is that heaven is a place more wonderful than we can ever begin to imagine. It's a place of joy and beauty, of peace and happiness that will never end. Think about the implications of the promise that there'll be no more death, no more arguments, no more pain, no more misunderstandings, no more disagreements, no more disappointments. We will enjoy fellowship without fear for all eternity. I love to learn, and I particularly like to learn from those I respect. Whenever we feel worn out and alone, we do well to remember that we will have eternity to be with those we love in the most intimate of friendship. Grandparents, Bible heroes, those people whose Christian biographies we love to read, they'll all be there. And there'll be no sense of urgency, no competing priorities, no rush to be somewhere else. We will have all the time in the world to hear their stories of faith and to learn from them. Whereas in this life, we need to work hard at our mental health. We need to ask each other, are you okay? We need to work on our mindfulness, our spiritual disciplines and practices. I can only imagine a time when prayer and Bible reading are not a chore that requires our diligence and perseverance, but an absolute joy. It will be so good when all strivings cease and we are finally at peace, not dead and buried, but alive in a way that we've never known before and cannot even imagine. Both Revelation 21:25 and Revelation 22:5 declare that there will be no more death, no more night, no more night, from which we can only assume that we will not grow weary and tired, needing to sleep during the day because of interrupted sleep at night. The implications of this are amazing. We will work without exhaustion, learn without fatigue, rest without boredom. How does that sound? I think it'll be amazing simply to have enough time to do everything we want. Heaven is the place where God can eternally enjoy relationship with us. He not only wants to have a relationship with you for however many years you have on this earth, but he wants to be in relationship with you for all eternity. That's how much he loves you. Like I said at the outset, I think we've taken our eyes off this future hope somewhat. We've grown comfortable with our lives here on earth. This is not to criticize our success and good stewardship of the resources the Lord has given us, but just a reminder that when we are feeling anxious and concerned about the future, we ought to lift our eyes and look beyond the days ahead, beyond even the next 18 months to 2 years. We need to look beyond this world to the world to come. This is our future hope. This is our birthright. This is our inheritance in the Lord. I'm sure all too often we simply take heaven for granted. It's kind of like an insurance policy that we know we have tucked away somewhere. We're up to date with the payment. We've given our hearts to Jesus. But we might assume that just like it would be weird to study our insurance policies diligently, we assume it's a bit weird to think about heaven too much. It's a bit depressing to be preoccupied with thoughts of heaven, right? I suppose we prefer not to dwell on it. We keep it far away just in case we ever need it. But we prefer to live our lives treating our belief in heaven just like our insurance policies, hoping that we'll never need them. At different times in my life, the thought of heaven has been truly inspirational to me. But I confess more recently, the assurance of our future hope of eternity with the Lord and complete restoration of our physical world in the new heaven and the new earth has become less significant. Instead of being something we prefer not to think about, the challenge today is to take hold of this future hope and allow it to transform how we approach life. We see the potential for this in Colossians 1:3-6. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The wonder of our eternal destiny with the Lord is yet another dimension of God's grace given to us. Our future hope of everlasting life in heaven ought to be the wellspring from which our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and our love for all God's people springs forth in abundance. Eternal life is not just something to get excited about when we first respond to the gospel, but something to reflect on, to inspire us as we face the uncertainty of this present world with its difficulties, challenges, pain, and suffering. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you did come to earth to show us God's love, to die in our place, and to bring us eternal life. May we take hold of that and appropriate that in the way that we trust in you and the way that we approach life. I pray, Lord, that our future hope of eternity with you would inspire our faith and inspire our love. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.